Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. I just got back from the Cybertruck delivery event a little bit ago, and I wanted to do a quick episode here and go through initial thoughts on what we have learned today with the first Cybertruck deliveries and all or most of the specs being posted online after that. So we're going to go through it. This is not meant to be all-inclusive. This is really just a, you know, initial first thoughts. It's going to take many days to absorb this for all of us. We're going to, as we have seen since the event, we're going to continue to learn new information about it. So we're going to take time to make sure that all that's communicated and understood as we process what is the Cybertruck and everything that comes along with it. So first thing, you know, first reaction, this is a heck of a product, right? There is so much new technology in here that Tesla has incorporated. I think that was very clear from the presentation today. I was at the event, so I didn't see the live stream. I know there's a lot of new details that have been posted online since the live stream. So if you only watch the live stream, make sure to go and, you know, review the Cybertruck page that now has a lot of new details on it. But I think what was clear is that there is, again, so much new technology in here. Just walking through the production line, this was very much on display. So here we have a nice shot of the cast pieces of the vehicle. You know, we've seen some of these things before, but just to highlight, again, a lot of the stuff that Tesla is putting in here. Of course, this is the outcome of the 9,000-ton Giga casting machine. So here we can see the rear casting, and you know, we've seen those before. And then here we see the front cast pieces as well, which, you know, I believe these are cast looking at them, but we can get confirmation on that. But just seeing this and seeing just the frame of the vehicle and how Tesla is building this car is pretty wild. So very exciting from that perspective. Tons of new technology again outside of things that we even knew about before. One thing that has come out since the event is a new product from Tesla called PowerShare. So we've got Powerwall, we used to have PowerPack, now we've got PowerShare, which is bidirectional charging, as we can see from the Cybertruck. So it was rumored that this would be coming. We now have that confirmation. Tesla gives us some specifications here on the PowerShare page, which is just tesla.com/PowerShare. Right now, the Cybertruck, of course, is going to be the only vehicle capable of this, but presumably over time, this will extend to other vehicles. The max continuous power is 11.5 kilowatts, so pretty significant power there. And of course, the battery capacity would be much more significant than a product like a Powerwall because you're leveraging the Cybertruck's 100 plus kilowatt hour pack. So significant amount of energy there with plenty of power. And one thing that Tesla has done here that maybe a lot of people don't realize, this is actually incorporated to work with the universal wall connector. So Tesla released that product a few months ago. We talked about it. It does have the adapter built in, kind of the magic dock system. In addition to that, Tesla also built in the capability of using that connector for this bidirectional power transfer. So powering vehicle to home is as simple as plugging in and charging your vehicle, and no other cables necessary there in terms of creating that connection. You will still need some other equipment, of course, so the Tesla gateway and backup switch will also be required. If you do have a Powerwall setup, of course, you're going to have some of these things already installed, in which case, if you've already got a Powerwall, you've already got the universal wall connector, it should theoretically just be pretty much plug and play, which would be pretty exciting for those customers that already are in that situation. So this is something, you know, a lot of people have been asking for Tesla for a long time. I think Elon has said, you know, he maybe doesn't really feel like it's necessary, or, you know, there's always concerns too with cycle life and things like that for battery cells. But Tesla now finally at the point where they feel like they can do that and initially offering it here on the Cybertruck. So very exciting. Of course, there's tons of onboard power, including a 240 volt outlet. So we talked about, you know, the rumors of that. We've got that confirmation now. So should be great for powering tools, any equipment that's needed on site. And with this power share option, you can even charge other vehicles, you know, if you need to. If somebody is stranded on the side of the road or something like that, nice to have vehicles out there that over time there's going to be more and more of them that can help you out if you do get kind of in a bind like that. So hopefully nothing that ever happens, but just having that peace of mind, I think, is something that is nice too, and that'll increase over time. So in addition to that, Elon mentioned that they do have the 800-volt powertrain architecture here. So that's from around 400 volts from sort of previous generation Tesla vehicles. So that's a big change in the powertrain. They mentioned the 48-volt electronics architecture. So that was something that was covered at Investor Day. That's going to be able to reduce, and it's a significant change. Everything's been 12-volt forever in the automotive industry, right? So Tesla taking that pretty big leap forward, that's going to help save weight, save costs. but it is a big change and requires a lot of supply chain movement to come along with that. So exciting to see Tesla push that forward, and that will benefit them in future vehicles as well, which I think is a sort of a commonality with what we're seeing here, that is sort of this technological marvel that is the Cybertruck product. Steer-by-wire, this is another huge one. I don't have a screen pulled up for this, but this is something that Tesla's actually been working on, I heard today, for 6 years. So steer-by-wire is a very complex system, simple in terms of understanding it, and they explained steering differential and how that will change based on speed for the vehicle for turning. So I don't know in terms of production or cost, how this will look over the long term. A complex system, though, that could be something that is even simpler to produce. I would love to hear Tesla talk a little bit more about that. But again, something that Tesla has put a lot of time, a lot of effort into that we are now finally seeing appear in a product for the first time. I think there are maybe a couple other vehicles on the market that have steer-by-wire, but as far as I know, Cybertruck's planned production level is going to be the highest volume steer-by-wire vehicle on the market. So we can confirm that. Again, this is all initial stuff, and we'll do more research and figure all this stuff out. But it's exciting to see such a big change in, fundamentally how a vehicle works being brought to market here with the Cybertruck. And of course, rear steering, which we have talked about many times. Tesla has confirmed that to be the case. They showed a number of demo videos where it was navigating around the job site very easily. Elon said the turning radius actually better than a Model S, which is pretty crazy for a vehicle of this size. We talked about bidirectional onboard power, but just in general, a whole lot of new technology here in the Cybertruck, which I think is making it, in addition to just being the crazy vehicle that it is, some of the underlying stuff is very exciting too. So that brings us into the pricing. So we now finally have it. We've got pricing, we've got range details. We can see in the order screen now, Cybertruck, single motor, rear wheel drive. I guess it maybe doesn't specify exactly if it's single motor, but presumably single motor, rear wheel drive, available 2025 at the earliest. Obviously, that'll depend on the other configurations and how Tesla works through them. But starting at 60,990 in 2025, 250-mile range estimated. So these specs are all pretty close to the unveiling, with the obvious outlier of pricing. Initially, a vehicle of this sort was supposed to be around 39,900. Of course, there's been a lot of inflation since then, but even including that, this would be sort of outside of that target. Elon did prepare us for that in a number of different ways. First of all, he said outright that the pricing is going to be higher than what was targeted initially. And then secondarily, we see Tesla's production volume plans, right? Elon has said 250,000, sort of in that ballpark. They'll see and adjust from there. That'll be based on a couple things. It'll be based on demand for these configurations that Tesla's offering right now. And it'll be based on how much cost progress Tesla can make. Like I said, a ton of new technology in here, which is, I think, a part of why we are seeing pricing where it is. I think Tesla also just in a situation where 4680s have taken a little bit longer than they had initially hoped back in 2019, of course. And the Cybertruck itself, I think, has become a more complex product with, again, some of these things that Tesla's implemented over time. So we had a couple of hints, Elon saying it, and then also just the sort of lower production volume target than maybe what we would have initially hoped or expected based off of the price points that were pretty significantly lower. Now, the other thing, of course, we'll talk about the other configurations here, but just pricing in general, you've got the EV tax credit. That's going to boost things. So $7,500, Tesla's going to try to take advantage of that, most likely in terms of how they're pricing the vehicle. That was obviously not existent or not relevant for Tesla at that point, as they had burned through it back in 2019 at that 200,000 vehicle cap, which then cost it to expire for manufacturers. Now with that back, that's going to affect pricing. And then also, well, lost my train of thought on that one as I was explaining the tax credit situation, but I'll try to remember what I was saying there. As I try to do that, we'll go through the other configurations here. So the all-wheel drive, this is the initial version. I'm not sure if they're delivering the tri-motor, which is the Cyber Beast, but as we look at these two, we've got the all-wheel drive at 799, delivery in 2024, as they say here. Of course, some vehicles delivered today, but for an order screen like this, you're gonna say at the earliest 2024. 340 miles of range. This is one of the positive surprises, I think. So we had seen sort of the post from Marques Brownlee, MKBHD, yesterday, I know we didn't have an episode yesterday, but hopefully many people saw that. That showed 265 miles of range. It looked like it was 90% charged. So that kind of extrapolated to right around 300. For us to see 340, I think that's a nice number. And this actually does outpace what Tesla had said to expect for the dual motor back in 2019. Of course, the price is, again, significantly higher. But I think that's a pretty nice range number for a vehicle here that is coming in just under the $80,000 cap for trucks for the EV credit. And for all of the benefits and capability and utility that the Cybertruck is offering, which of course Tesla highlighted. We're not going to go through all the fun examples that they showed, but quite a few things highlighting the capability of the Cybertruck. So I think, you know, if you're able to kind of remove the anchor of the pricing and the range specs and things that we heard about in 2019, which fair or not, you can argue both sides of that. If we just look at this in isolation and we pretend we didn't know anything about it before, I think this is a very compelling sort of vehicle and for now price point. Hopefully Tesla can make progress on that over time and bring it down. That's historically what we've seen in pretty much every case for Tesla across their vehicle lineup. So we'll hope for that. The other thing, now that I remember, so you've got the EV tax credit, and of course, you've also got initial ramp-up phase, right? So production is going to be very limited. Your early people in the line are going to be willing to pay a premium to have one of those first vehicles while production is slower. So for Tesla, they can price things a little bit higher if they want to. They don't always, you know, quite take advantage of those types of things. But if they want to, Cybertruck's going to be expensive initially, capture some of that additional cost of goods sold back through higher prices, and then bring those down over time. So we have no way of knowing that, if that'll happen. A counterpoint to that is that their rear-wheel drive version does say available in 2025, and they're giving a price point for it right now, obviously an estimate. But, you know, we shouldn't expect any huge drops that early. Maybe as we go forward into the latter part of the decade, we do see that. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. So that's the all-wheel drive version, 4.1 seconds 0 to 60. Again, that was a little bit better than what Tesla had sort of targeted. Obviously, price, big caveat there. 11,000 pound towing capacity, 2,500 pound payload. So we've talked about those things before. And then the Cyber Beast version. So this is the one that beat a Porsche 911 while hauling a Porsche 911. So that was a fun, really fun demo to see. 2.6 seconds 0 to 60, pretty crazy. 320 miles of range, so presumably the same pack here, but with a significant or an additional motor. Presumably, it doesn't specify it, but presumably, I think Tesla actually talked about it, three motors here. So pretty crazy performance on this version. And of course, that's in the just under $100,000. Now, this order screen is more of a reservation screen at this point rather than a full design studio. So I think people asking about like FSD and maybe other options for the vehicle, this is more of a reservation screen right now. So I assume over time, as Tesla ramps up production, as they're configuring more vehicles, they'll, you know, unlock that full sort of design studio that we're used to, where you can presumably select from some more options. But right now, kind of just, which trim do you want? And, you know, $250 order, which is a little bit more than it was before. And then one of the most interesting things here, let's see if I've got, well, one quick thing. I did happen to notice the consumption on one of these pages. Tesla says 42.9 kilowatt hours per 100 miles for this all-wheel drive version. So multiply that by 3.4 because you've got the 340 mile range in this vehicle. That should mean 145 kilowatt hour pack. So we had heard 122. So that's a little bit different. We'll have to kind of get to the bottom of that. I'm not going to read too much into it, but that would also obviously suggest 429 watt hours per mile from that efficiency number. I know that's a little bit small for most people on here. All right, so getting into some of the other specs, one of the most interesting things, Tesla didn't talk about this at all in the presentation, there's a range extender. Voice cracked a little bit there, but we can see here on the Cyberbeast version, that'll take the range up to 440 miles. The all-wheel drive version actually will get all the way up to 470 miles with the range extender. So there is a photo of this on the Cybertruck page. So we can see this is just an additional battery that will sit in the bed of the truck, sort of like you might have a toolbox or something like that. You know, you may have seen toolboxes like that in trucks before, kind of taking up where that space might be. Now, we don't know a whole lot about it at this point. Again, Tesla didn't really talk about it at all. there's something in the code that suggested that maybe this is going to be $16,000. And obviously, if we look at the range, in this case, you're extending the range by 130 plus miles with this. So whatever size battery that would be, we'll have to kind of do the math on. But interesting. Obviously, this is completely new, something that we have not seen from Tesla before. So as a concept, I don't know. There's a lot to think about for those people that are more wanting more range versus, critical for them to have completely flat and full bed storage. What is the overlap between those two? Maybe not a whole lot. So maybe this could be a good solution for Tesla for those that really feel like they do need that additional range. And as we talk about sort of the initial specs and what Tesla delivered on, what they didn't deliver on from those initial targets, obviously not delivering on price and range, you could also put into that category a little bit depending on how you're looking at things. But the range extender does get it very close to that initial target of having a vehicle that could go 500 miles. So again, I don't know that Tesla, when they announced those things, this is probably not the vision that they had in mind for it at that point in time. But for them to figure out a solution and be able to offer it, I think, although it would be awesome if it was just a trim that was available with a battery pack under the floor, this could be a good solution for some people. So I haven't quite fully wrapped my head around it yet, but it is going to be interesting, and we'll kind of get see what people's feedback and reception to that feature is. And then, as we saw going into it from the Tesla app, some of those leaks that we had talked about, there are a number of accessories here. So Tesla's updated the shop page, and there's a whole page here of Cybertruck accessories that are available, including that base camp tent. They did have this on display at the event, so I got a little video of that. I'm sure there's a bunch of that on social media already, though. They do have the colored paint film wrap. So this would be very similar to what we talked about with the Model 3 and the Model Y. Basically a PPF or paint protective film wrap. So high quality. And although it is expensive at $6,500, this is something that Tesla seems to be trying out. This is still only available in a couple stores in California, and it's something that's done after delivery, so not in the design studio. But right now they are offering a couple of configurations of it, the satin black and satin white. So we'll see. I don't think that's going to be a huge option at that price point, but Tesla kind of trying it out, and maybe over time something that they can also bring down. So here's the base camp tent. Honestly, I'm not a tent shopper often, but it doesn't seem too bad of a price, all things considered, especially since this is presumably pretty custom tailored for the Cybertruck. So pretty exciting to see some of this accessory development from Tesla. They've also got just general truck accessories like a divider here for the cargo bed and things like that. They do have the light bar. The light bar is not in the shop yet, but they do show the light bar here on the Cybertruck page. They do say that installation is required. So it does look like that's an accessory, not an accessory that is available in the shop yet. And then, of course, one thing here, the OMFG decal, for those that want to remember the infamous moment from the unveiling event. Don't remember if I had anything here. This is just the sort of wrap up. So I do want to take a quick look at the comments here. Again, this is just going to be initial thoughts. We're going to have to take a lot more time to really fully digest the Cybertruck and all the news that we heard here, pricing, range, how those compare to Tesla's production level targets, and things like that. It's going to be interesting. This is a very unique product. Tesla is going to have a limited feel for what the market is going to be until it's out there and they're producing it. So I think Tesla's said, they're going to start slow, see how it goes. And I think that's both on the demand side and the cost side. And hopefully both of those things go well, and this is a product that can, do bigger volume in the future. So again, I think if you went into it and you kind of anchored it around like the 2019 targets, there are going to be some disappointments here, right? And certainly it's fair to be critical of maybe not living up to those initial targets. If you come into it though with the point of view of just evaluating it in isolation, not relative to those targets, which a new vehicle buyer, that's really all that matters, right? Is what is this product? What can it do for me today? What's the price, et cetera? I think if you look at it from that perspective, it's a very compelling product. It does kind of fit right now in terms of pricing in between the 3 and the Y and the S and the X. I think if you compare it to the S and the X, you're looking at, you know, a really strong product here that compares very well. If you compare to the 3 and the Y, if you're talking about those price points, and that was kind of how Tesla had positioned it a little bit initially, then maybe it doesn't, you know, compare quite as favorably. But it'll be interesting, and I think it kind of will fall somewhere in the middle of those two, and of course, a completely different category as well. All right, so I'm just going to take a quick look at the comments. I see a couple of super chats in here. Quang, thank you so much. Appreciate that. And John, always appreciate those as well. Does mean a lot. So I haven't had a chance to really look at the market. I don't know what the reaction has been. I think I saw it was down like 1.5%. We'll see. You know, I think it's very common that after Tesla events, there's sort of a sell the news type of situation. But it's, again, it's going to take me time to process this. It's going to take the market time to process this as well. All right, so let's just bear with me as I read through a couple of comments. I don't have a ton of time. I wish I had a little bit more. I do have to head to another event here. Actually, already quite late for, I think. But Nick asking any word on the solar bed cover. I haven't heard anything about it. It's certainly possible that, you know, is still something that Tesla's working on, or maybe not, but nothing that I've heard on it. So I see a few people saying, you know, people that had reservations are going to back out. Certainly there's going to be some of that. That's kind of what I was just saying with, if you're anchored on those things, and that's kind of what you were hoping for or expecting. Certainly if you were expecting a vehicle that was going to come in at $39,900 or maybe even a little bit above that, you know, $61,000 base price, that's a lot, right? That's high. I think it compares pretty well with the other EV trucks that are on the market. But at that price point, it's also not the truck that's going to destroy the F-150, not the Lightning, just the F-150 in general, right? So relative to that, there are some disappointing elements to it. Relative to technological progress and what this does for Tesla as in terms of being a testing ground and a development ground for new technology that is going to go into Tesla's future lineup and benefit the whole line, you know, for the rest of the existence of the company, there's a lot of good things there too. So sure, certain reservation holders are going to be disappointed. There are aspects of this that I'm disappointed in too. I've been trying to tell my dad to get a Cybertruck for a long time. I'm sure he's watching. Hi, Dad. But I've been trying to get him to get a Cybertruck for a long time, and range is a big thing too, just from, you know, his specific use cases that he needs it for. We'll see if the range extender works. I don't know how he'll feel about that, but same thing for other reservation holders too. And then price, of course, that's a huge thing. If you look and you're thinking $70,000, which was that initial, you know, tri-motor price, 500 miles of range, we're now looking at, I don't know, $96,000, or yeah, probably $96,000 if that $16,000 range extender is the correct price. Again, we don't know that for sure. If that's the price and you're adding that on the dual motor configuration, first of all, you've got obviously to deal with that. It affects the bed, and then pretty significantly higher price than initially expected. So there's certainly going to be drop off in reservation holders. I don't think Tesla is blind to that. I think they certainly expect that too. So that doesn't mean at the same time though that this can't be a great product that's very successful for Tesla, generates, you know, $15, $20 billion a year in revenue. Those are possibilities with this product for sure. Michael here asking, will reservations go by trim or just reservation number going in order? I selected tri, but would switch to dual motor now with price and spec. Yeah, I don't think we've gotten any information on this. I don't know that we'll ever really get perfect information on that. I think it's a really good question. Maybe Tesla will clarify some of those things. I would imagine it's going to be a little bit of both. It'll be, you know, based on what Tesla's producing, I would expect they kind of do things in runs. So they probably won't be constantly switching back between configurations. And they'll probably just kind of go in order of people that had those orders. Maybe they'll give people an option to switch. We'll just kind of have to see how Tesla manages, but not really any information at this point. Joey asking, is V2G vehicle to grid confirmed? Vehicle to home, yes. Vehicle to grid's a little bit different, but vehicle to home, yes, is confirmed. Right. A again, just bear with me. I'm trying to read through the comments and pick out some ones that maybe are on lots of people's minds. Keep the initial 7K FSD price. So Tesla, with those reservations, did say that would lock in FSD price. As far as I know, that's still going to be the case. Again, we don't see the design studio, so that's why we don't see what, you know, FSD is or any other interior options or things like that, or the range extender. That's probably something Tesla does just on a case-by-case basis right now with these early deliveries. At a certain point, when they get to volume production or close to it, they'll open that up. We'll get to see more of those details. And presumably hopefully those reservations will still keep that initial promise. So Cybertruck pricing is competitive with similar vehicles. That is all that matters. 2019 is gone. Move on, folks. So yeah, I think relative to other EV trucks, and again, this isn't meant to be a comprehensive review or anything. We'll look at those things later on. I think if you compare it to a Rivian, compare it to a Ford F-150 Lightning, there's going to be some differences, and maybe not everyone will go for the Cybertruck, especially based on looks, but I think it compares, you know, quite favorably to those other vehicles from a price value perspective. So again, we'll look more closer at that, but should be favorable. Any news about the extended tailgate ramp? There is actually an accessory, if I can get back to the right page, that has that. I don't think it's something that's built in. Maybe the actual page gives us a little bit more detail on it, if I can find it successfully. So they do have an accessory here. I'm not sure if we can see anything on storage or not. Probably something in the description there. I won't spend the time to read that at this moment, but you know, we'll see. So I think I'll probably wrap it up there. Again, I got to get going. We're going to have plenty more time to talk about the Cybertruck and how all this stacks up in the future. But definitely let me know what your thoughts are in the comments. I'm interested in, you know, hearing something a little bit beyond, you know, oh, they didn't hit this target or that target. We kind of know that, right? We kind of knew that going in. We got more clarification on how different it is at this point. But again, Elon said a long time ago, it's going to be more expensive. We had good reason to believe that would be the case. How much more expensive? That's a more interesting conversation than just a comment like, oh, they didn't, you know, hit X, Y, or Z target. It's important to acknowledge, and I think we've done that for sure. And it's fair to be critical, but at this point, we got to evaluate what the product is sort of separately from that, I think. I hope that doesn't sound like defensive, because again, it's totally fair, but just in terms of what is interesting going forward, I think some of those other things are more. So that'll wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and sign up for notifications, and we'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, December 1st episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.